This is the John Nuzzo Leadership Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this month's podcast. So glad you could join us. I want to take a moment and just encourage you to get your students, both your middle school and high school students, to this year's Encounter Conference. We've dropped the price from $220 to $29 a student. That's a massive investment for our church, but I really do believe God's put a great mandate in my heart to create a regional youth event, youth conference. It's June 19th through the 21st. All the details, you can go on the link and you can get details about the conference as well as register. So I really encourage you, make it a point to get your student there or someone that you love. It's going to make an incredible difference in their life. Hey, I want to get right into this month's content. The title is The Punctuation of a Leader. The Punctuation of a Leader. As a leader, are you living with one of these two forms of punctuation, a comma or a period? Life has a way of dropping periods where God desires a comma. And I want to talk to you about just three simple points. And the first one's this, the devastation of a period. The devastation of a period. I don't think we calculate the devastation that occurs and the domino effect of when we put a period where God expects a comma. Now, all of us in our lives have actually experienced the domino effect of when somebody dropped a period and said no. Said no to you, said no to God, said no to a relationship, and it can devastate you. I know in my own life, being married to Michelle, the devastation that occurred in her life when her father dropped a period in their family, when he said, I'm finished. And he wasn't just finished with his marriage, he was finished with his daughter. And he left them at 8 years old, threw their family into abject poverty, and disappeared for 10 years from his daughter's life. I don't say that to condemn him, but the reality of it is, this carefree little girl that her mother told me about changed on that day. Fear terrorized her. It literally consumed her soul. She became this carefree little girl to this little girl that was just totally consumed with anxiety. So much so that in her early teenage years, when she went to the doctor because of ongoing stomach problems, he told her mom that if this doesn't get rectified, I don't think she'll have a stomach by the time she's 25. All that happened because somebody made a decision, and not understanding that selfish decision, or even not in this case, but in some cases, necessary decision to end a marriage, maybe a serial adulterer or physical abuse or something of that nature. But he had no idea how that would impact a little girl, and he just disappeared. Beyond all the obvious things that occur, what I want you to see is it changed the way she saw herself. The devastation of a period is something I can't overemphasize. And if you don't get this part of it, if I don't get this part of it, this is so important. You're going to minimize your impact to other people. Your ability to drop that period where there should be a comma will increase if you don't understand the value of you staying and fulfilling the mission and purpose of your life. You know, the fact of it is, God has a plan and a calling for every human being's life, but it doesn't happen automatically. Something I've heard people say through the years over and over again, it's not theologically sound, but they say it nonetheless. God's in control of everything. Well, he's really not. Now, he's sovereign, and God could have chosen to have been in control of everything. God could have chosen to make us as human beings robots with no free will, but he didn't. And in that option of free will, God gives us the choice of how much of his plan comes to pass in our lives, and maybe even more importantly, through our lives. Let me take you to a scripture that amplifies this. Psalms 81, God was speaking to his people, Israel, about his deliverance in their life from Egypt. And he's actually telling them what he wanted to do for them, but they wouldn't let him. In Psalms 81, verse 10, God's speaking, and he said, "For it was I, the Lord your God, who rescued you from the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it with good things." Now, think of opening your mouth wide as an act of will. If you've ever tried to give a toddler medicine, and they have their jaws just clenched shut, and you can't get that in any way you try. You're making faces, you're grabbing their jaw, you're doing everything you can, and that medicine doesn't work on their chin. And if they don't open their mouth wide, you can't put that good thing in them that can cause them to recover. So listen to what God said to his people. Open your mouth wide, and then I'll fill it with good things. But my people would not listen to me. Israel would not obey me, so I let them go. I let them go to their stubborn ways and do whatever they wanted. When you hear the heart of God saying, so I let them go, I want to be careful that you don't process this through a religion prism. This is a father. He didn't say it this way. So I let them go, they disgust me. He said it with a grief, as a father would say it. I had to let them go to their stubborn ways. I had to let them do whatever they wanted. And now you hear the longing in God's heart. In verse 13, he said, how I long for my people to listen to me. How I long for them to obey me. How quickly I would have then subdued their enemies. Now remember, they were in a wilderness for 40 years. God said, had you opened your mouth wide, had you let me fill it, instead of disobeying me and dishonoring me and dropping periods where I had placed commas, I had to let you do what you chose. And I want you to know, though, I longed for you to listen to me. I longed for you to obey me. Had you done this, verse 14 said, I would have quickly subdued your enemies. How soon my hand would have been upon your foes. Those who hate the Lord would have cringed before him. They would have been doomed forever. Now listen to this. But I would have fed you with the finest of wheat. I would have satisfied you with honey from the rock. God fed them supernaturally with manna from heaven. He said, the bread that I fed you with, I wanted it to be better. I wanted the quality to be finer than what I was able to do for you. You wouldn't permit me to give you my best. And so I fed you to sustain you. If you read the scripture, you'd find that there was a rock that followed them through the wilderness, and a river of water poured out of a rock in a desert to water them. But God said, I also wanted honey to come out of that rock, but you wouldn't let me. What I'm hoping you'll see right now is that God's will, God's plan for my life, the domino effect of my life and your life, isn't only up to God. It's up to our choice. And when we choose to put a period, and I understand there are totally legitimate reasons why we feel that way, but when we choose to put a period instead of a comma, there is a domino effect that is absolutely devastating. Absolutely, absolutely devastating. Now, life and circumstances are going to demand periods in my life and yours. But if you're going to lead people, if you're going to walk with God, it's going to demand that you live with commas. Because if you've placed a period where God expects a comma, it's going to change the destiny of many people. It's going to change your own. The fact of it is, if you lead people, if you work with people, two things have happened. People have hurt you, and you have hurt people. And when your heart gets damaged when you lead, it's almost impossible to continue with strength. When we're tempted to drop a period, I'm done with this. I'm not letting anybody do this to me anymore. I'm tired of this. We think we're protecting ourselves, but we're not. We're actually devastating ourselves and devastating others. You know, most pastors quit or certainly lose heart, but listen, for three or four people drive most pastors out of their position. Three or four people who, for whatever reason, have an influence in your life can cause you as a leader, as a pastor, to actually drop a period on the very reason for your calling, the very being that God called you and created you to be. And then the sting of regret when you hurt or fail people. I wish it was only the things that people do that injure us. But I think it's even more devastating when you know a failing of yours or just a short-sightedness, and hopefully not intentionally, but regardless, when you know that your leadership or your influence in someone's life has harmed them, it's absolutely devastating. It's absolutely devastating. It is impossible to calculate the devastation of your absence. Let me say that again. It is impossible to calculate the devastation of your absence if you drop a period. Michelle's father, it is incalculable the damage that he did to her. Now, God has restored her life, and God has brought so much in restoration to her soul, but she has fought battles for her entire life that never would have been in front of her. And the domino effect of his life had a negative and an ongoing devastating effect. But that's the negative side, if you will, of the punctuation. But I want to talk to you for just a moment about the power of a comma. A power of a comma when you continue and you walk with God in the midst of impossibility. When you walk with God, when everything in your being says quit, when you've disappointed yourself, when you feel like you've failed, when people have failed you, when people have lied about you, when people have actually harmed you. You know, thankfully, Michelle had a parent that picked a different punctuation. Her mother picked the punctuation of a comma. Her mom took the dominoes that were going to fall one way for the rest of Michelle's life and caused them to begin to fall another way. Because of the devastation of her father, Michelle, when she started dating as just a teenage kid, began to date very, very dangerous men because they reflected her lack of value for herself. And the things that occurred in her life, Michelle would tell you her first dating experience ended in a sexual assault. She's open about this because she wants people to live beyond the devastation of others. But she had a mom who didn't stop. Now, when the dad left, her mom had a nervous breakdown, a physical breakdown. But somebody came into her life who literally encouraged her and brought her to a church, like the ones many of you are pastoring, that you don't realize on any given weekend, my wife's mother could be sitting in front of you. And that pastor in that church of about 120 people poured his life into her, and her entire life turned around. And she began to, instead of living this desperation and hopelessness, she began to live with a hope and an expectation. Instead of seeing her children's future as bleak, she began to see a God that could restore everything. And that little girl that would have been destined almost with 100% certainty of marrying an abusive man didn't do that, as Jesus rescued her life through the domino effect of her mother, the power of that comma. In your leadership, you have no idea who you influence, none whatsoever. The Apostle Paul gives us such a clear picture of what this looked like in his own life. You know, I think we romanticize Paul, and we don't recognize the brutality of the life he had to live. But listen to what he said. In essence, he's saying, hey man, I live with commas and not periods. In 2 Timothy 4:6, he said this, as for me, now hear that sentence, that fragment of this sentence. As for me, that's my choice and yours. As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. Now listen to what he said about his commas. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I've remained faithful. I want you to catch that. This is Paul telling you his punctuation, because, man, I'm telling you, if anybody had a reason to drop some periods, it was this guy. But he said, I fought the good fight. I finished the race, and I remained faithful, and now the prize awaits me. And he goes on to say, but not just for me, but there's a prize that awaits everyone who does this, everyone who's looking forward to his appearing. Now, you can romanticize Paul's life, but I want you to see that the commas that Paul lived with, the outcome of it, much, he never saw much of it. In fact, Paul, writing to one church, said, have I labored in vain? I'm sure constantly in Paul's mind, he was battling. Is this going to matter? Is this gospel, is it going to continue? All that I've sown my life into, has it been in vain? You know, the day of Paul's death, is an incredible thing to consider. If you go to Rome, you can actually go to the place where Paul spent his last night on earth. And think of it just as a dungeon hewn out of rock. It was below ground. And you can stand right in the place where this man spent his last night on earth. That morning, as Paul awakened, he was taken by two Roman guards because he was a Roman citizen and his execution was going to be humane rather than the death of a cross, he would be beheaded. But being a Roman citizen, he was treated with dignity up until the point of his death. And when Paul was taken out of that dungeon, and when you come out of that place, you see it's right beside something that was called Nero's Circus. Nero's Circus was several football fields in length, a couple football fields wide, a very long oval. And that's where Nero would have Christians persecuted and Christians would be used as sport. And he also did something that's horrific. He would take Christians who would not recant their faith, and he would impale them with a steel rod through the center of their crotch, up through their skull, and hang them there, pour tar on them, and light them on fire. And those human bodies became tiki torches around the entire circumference of Nero's Circus. I want you to walk with me through the morning of his death, because we romanticize this man, but he's just like you. He's just like me. I wonder what it felt like that morning getting up, knowing he was going to his execution, on his way between two guards, walking past Nero's Circus as he looks to his left, and he sees a series of charred human bodies from the night before that he knows are Christians, going to a place to where he knows he's about to die for his faith. He kneels down and puts his head on a piece of stone, and an executioner takes his head from his body, and he goes to heaven. His last moments on this earth were not hopeful. Even though he lived with a comma, he didn't know in fullness the domino effect of his life, the power of the choices that he made in the presence of impossibility. I heard one minister say this, and it's such a true statement, that even though Paul felt that way, even though that he went to his death really not knowing what would become of this thing called the church, if you go to Rome today, nothing is named after Nero. People name their dogs after Nero, but half the city's named after Paul. The domino effect of this man's life, who chose to live with a comma when it never felt right, has changed the world. Again, I say to you, you have no idea. It is impossible for you to calculate the power of the comma in your life. You'll never know who you're impacting. You'll never know how that seed will sprout and grow. You'll never know what that person or persons will do with their life that can change the lives of multitudes. And the third thing I want to ask you is this simple, if you will, question. Will you pick your punctuation today? Pick your punctuation, listen, today. This is a choice. Only eternity can record the domino effect of your decision and mine to actually fight the good fight of faith that Paul said he fought, to finish your race or your course, and to remain faithful. If you live any length of time on this earth, you are going to have thousands of reasons to quit. I think in my own life of three or four occasions, well, I can't count the times I felt like quitting, but three or four times, two in particular, where I really felt like, okay, I can't do this anymore. One, where I was so convinced, I started looking for employment, and how would I transition out of my role not to harm the church that I started? Because I knew that in the condition I felt in my soul, in the heart that I had lost, I don't think I could do this well. And I actually said, well, I know I have to care for my family. And I began to think of options so that I could not harm the people that I was serving, but then also try to somehow figure out how to take care of my family. Now, you have to understand my background outside of doing ministry. My next skill that I've worked at is called Burger King. So there wasn't like a great place to go, but I realized that I don't know that I can continue doing this. And I was tempted to drop a period like many of you have been, or maybe right now you are. Maybe right now the reasons seem, there's enough reasons. I'm just going to drop a period here. But can I tell you that one word from God that you obey will not just change your life, but can change the lives of multitudes. My hope today in this podcast is to help you to see that no matter the present circumstances you face, no matter why the periods may be feeling like they want to drop in your life, that you matter. No matter how it looks, no matter how insignificant you may feel, it's a lie. You matter. You matter. Your obedience matters. I think back to the woman who chose to go get my mother-in-law out of this devastation and pour into her life and bring her to a church. Like, if you're for those pastors, many of you pastor churches, just like the one she was brought to. And I know the pastor of that church, and he's a friend of mine to this day. And he was pastoring about 120 people in a town so small. They had one stoplight, but they didn't need it. In a town of 900 people. And he gave his life, and he sowed his life. And today, that woman who came to him in devastation ended up raising three kids who didn't go into darkness, who didn't go into abject poverty, of which would have been the natural course. A daughter that would have married an abusive man. Michelle would have probably been married two or three times and found the same man in a different body. But her youngest son is a missionary in Thailand. He's been overseas for 20 plus years in Vietnam, in Myanmar, in Cambodia, in Laos. Her older brother is an engineer at NASA. And Michelle has pioneered a church that's 30 years old, that at our altars has seen 10,000 plus come to Christ. In that room that day, when she walked in, that pastor's name is Phil Richards. I promise you Phil didn't know. I promise you that all the things he was facing, he didn't realize that on the other side of that obedience, of that comma, was my future, was the future of this church, was a missionary who would serve overseas for 20 years, and then the dominoes of everyone we've touched. So pick your punctuation as a leader. It matters. You matter. And God has designed you for an incredible outcome. So keep fighting the good fight of faith. Finish your race. And remain faithful, because his grace truly is sufficient to take you to the other side and to the finish line. God bless you. I look forward to being with you next month.
Thanks again for tuning in to the John Nuzzo Leadership Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love for you to rate, review, and share this podcast on iTunes. It's a great way to get the word out and to help others grow as leaders. We'll see you back here next time for another episode of the John Nuzzo Leadership Podcast.